This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon there, Mike.
Well, good afternoon there, sir.
And what's new in your world?
Lots of rain, snow, cold, and wind.
Your kind of weather.
Yeah, I love that. You know, so everybody run out and get your garden in quick before it dries up.
maybe over the weekend.
Oh, geez Louise, I don't know. Been a pretty intense week with the snow in different locations. And, you know, every day it snows at my house a little bit in the morning, and then it turns to rain and just keeps raining and raining and raining. And my creek looks like the North Umpqua River right now. And I'm thankful for, because it was barely running before this last set of storms came through.
Yeah, you were wanting it to rise.
Oh, yeah. You know, let's get some water in the ground. We got a summer coming up here, you know. So
you think this is going to help much? Or?
Oh, yeah. This will help. This would be tremendous.
Okay, cool.
So, if you're listening, I want to thank you for listening. And if you have a question about your garden, your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, whatever, you can call me and ask that question, and we'll figure it out on the air. And the number is 673-4464. 673-4464. And I shall repeat that number a few other times, okay? So, this show basically is information, suggestions, if you have a question about something you don't understand, I'll give you the answer. If I don't give you the correct answer, you'll know right away. But it's all for your improvement in your gardening technique, your landscaping, and that kind of thing. So this is quite a deal, because there's a lot to know.
Oh, yeah.
And of all there is to know, I might know 2 or 3%. I mean, there's volumes written on this stuff. And
you've been in the biz a long time.
Long time. 48 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's like I'm an old man or something, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, I saw an interesting article in the this morning's Oregonian newspaper. I always read the Oregonian in the morning.
We're going to have to bleep that out.
I know, but just to see what the weirdos are saying. So. But there's on the front page, there's a pretty good-sized photo of snow in Portland somewhere with tree limbs broken down, laying in the street, and all that kind of stuff. And what caught my eye was a couple of the side comments in heavy print, and one of them said, heat waves become more likely, and yes, even though global temperatures are rising, cold spells become more likely too. And I said, you know, so we have global warming and that produces snow. Huh, that's interesting. And I read the article, and it just didn't make any sense. But I thought, you know, these are the same folks that, 10 years ago were talking about the ocean levels rising and flooding the inland cities and stuff. Well, so far that hasn't happened.
No.
And wonder how accurate they are on their information right here. So anyway, just
depending on which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah, global temperatures are rising and cold spells become more likely. Two. Okay. With that kind of reasoning,
yeah,
I think I'll just go on to something to make sense.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Well, the most recent weather is I like. It's not fun. It's not warm and toasty and all that. But prior to that, we had too many warm, non-rainy, dry days. And I was glad to see how much we've had in the last week or so.
Oh.
And it's replenishing a lot of watersheds and groundwater and that kind of thing, which is going to be good for us come June, July, and August, okay? You know, less trees are going to be dying up there in the mountains, and, you know, there will be more water available on the long run. But last week I was speaking about, you know, camellias and rhodies and stuff like that, and I've done some more research on rhodies that I'm going to speak about this week. But as the camellia blooms are Oh, some of them are in full bloom. Some of them have been blooming for a month, and they're starting to fade, and they've already peaked to their, you know, best. But the azaleas and the rhodies are just starting to bloom, and I'm seeing them around. I see a lot of red rhododendrons in bloom. I mean, the red blooms. They're just, you know, boom, boom, there they are. And they're very eye-catching because they're so red. They're so beautiful, and they're so full. And I'm not quite sure which varieties there are. There are a lot of red varieties, but I'm not sure which ones these are. They might be Jean Marie, which is the reddest of all reds, but you know, it is still, you know, fairly early spring with not so warmish weather. So
yes,
but the thing about rhodies, and I like this, and if you kill a rhodie, you've done it on purpose. I mean, you buy a nice rhodie and you put it in the ground and don't mess with it, it's going to do okay.
Kind of like that thing I gave you over there.
Yeah, kind of like this weed that you dug up out of your yard, and I'm going to try to identify it. I don't know.
We're speaking about that vine that's been brought up a few times.
The vine that grows a foot a day or something like that.
Yes.
You know. But, you know, rhodies are beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. They have gorgeous flowers. They have beautiful leaves. They have beautiful branching structure, all that kind of stuff. And they're very tough. That's the other thing. I'd say 90% of them are very tough. There are some that are a little wimpy, and they need a little bit more protection and stuff like that. But for the most part, you can stick them in and plant them in pure bark mulch, and they'll go, so thank you very much, let me grow, you know, that kind of thing.
Are those the ones that grow in sand, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember I talked about that last week. You know, they grow in the sand dunes in Florida, for crying out loud.
Of all places.
Yeah, and until I came across that information, I never thought of a rhodie growing in Florida, especially in a sand dune. But when you look at our coast, and you go, like, over to Winchester Bay and that area where the big sand dunes are, and then the timber and stuff start, well, there's rhododendrons mixed up in there. And it's still sandy up in there, even though there's pine trees and things.
Yeah.
But there's wild rhodies growing, like, I mean, they're so thick you can't walk through them. And they're, you know, some are 8-10 feet tall and that wide, and then there's just thousands of them. Yeah, they're just loving it, exactly. They don't get watered, they don't get fertilized, they don't get nothing, man, except what falls out of the sky.
Which is probably plenty of them.
Yeah, well, obviously it's plenty. But rhododendrons really add to your landscape. I mean, it's like an early bloomer, a long bloomer, and then after the blooms fall off, it's a beautiful plant. And it's just a, it's a, it makes a statement in your yard, that's what I want to say. Mm. And but they go from very large, a lot of big sizes, all the way down to dwarf rhodies, you know, maybe a foot or two high and maybe 2 feet wide, and they almost look like an azalea, but they're not. And they have some really wild colors, and they bloom very early, like this time of year when it's cold and ugly. Some of them even bloom in December and January when there's snow. I mean, that's how.
Lord.
And they're here in Douglas County. I've seen them, and I've grown them, and I've sold them at my nursery. So, but the giants, they can grow up to 15 feet, 20 feet. I've seen them up the North Umpqua that tall. Mm. They're not what you call perfectly shaped or anything. They look like a tree.
Yeah.
And you only spot them when I'm driving up like Tokadee or something. You know, I'm looking at the trees as I'm going by, and I see a rhododendron flower way the heck up in the air, and I quickly look and try to determine how tall it is, and you know, it's easy 15 feet tall.
Wow.
And with the trunk maybe 6 or 8 inches in diameter. Mm. I mean, it's a tree for crying out loud.
Call it a tree.
Yeah, call it a tree. So, you know, when you're shopping for rhodies, do some research on the sizes, the ultimate sizes. Make sure that the rhodie you get is going to fit the location you want to plant it in. In other words, don't plant one of these humongous ones, you know, 3 feet from the house, because in 10 years you're not going to like it, and you're going to pull it out or prune it to the stubs or something like that. But if you see a nice small one for a small bed, hey, it's going to be good for many, many years and enjoyable. So don't worry about that. But we have here in Western Oregon many varieties simply because they love our climate, from the coast to the Cascades. They love this weather we're experiencing out here. That's roadie weather. That's azalea weather. They even camellias.
It's their kind of rain.
That's their kind of rain, boy. Just give us that good old fashioned cold rain. We'll like it. And the plants have a beautiful shape even without flowers. You know, you can prune them into trees. You can keep them tight like a shrub. You know, and like I said earlier, in the wild, they are naturally shaped by the wind at the coast or a branch falling out of a pine tree and, you know, breaking half of it. But it doesn't bother them. They just keep on growing. In fact, one lady, and I've said this before, one lady called me out to her house, oh, it's been 2-3 years ago, and said, I have this very, very large rhododendron. And it was during Snowmageddon. That's what it was. And she says one of the major branches broke and is laying on the ground, but it's still attached a little bit to the main plant. So I said, okay, I'll come out and take a look at it and see what's happening. And this rhododendron was probably, oh, good 10 feet, maybe 12 feet tall. Jeez. And the diameter on the stem was probably 6 inches at least. Mm. And there was three main stems, I think. And the one, the snow just caught it just right, and it split. And it split from the base of the plant, but it was still attached to the base of the plant. Mm. The leaves were still on it. It was still green. And as I'm looking at it, all along the stem, it's laying parallel to the ground. Mm-hmm. All along the stem, there's new little leaves coming off the stem. I mean, it was only attached by a sliver of bark.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but it was, and I said, well, you got kind of a unique situation. If you leave these little buds here, uh-huh. you can grow a rhododendron hedge right from here. And she said, okay, I'll do it. And I said, you could put some, you know, tree sealer on the wound so that no insects or fungus or any of that get in there and, you know, kind of protect it that way. And in no time at all, you'll have a whole bunch of brand new plants right here off this one stem. And I don't know if she did it, but she thought it was a good idea.
I was going to ask you if you checked back in.
No, I haven't. She hasn't called me back and said, come here, look, this rhododendron hedge I got. Jeez Louise, you were right.
It's the size of New York City.
Yeah, it's big, man. There are raccoons in there, man.
Yeah.
But in our yards, and gardens, you know, they have more uniform growth because we, you know, we prune them, we take care of them. They don't grow quite as fast as, say, the coastal variety, and they're not reaching usually for the sun and that kind of thing. So there's, like I say, more uniform growth. And again, we can prune them any style we want. Mm-hmm. And if you want a tall roadie, you prune it like you'd prune a tree and take the bottom branches off and let the top ones grow. And if you want it to keep it be a shrub, just then prune it tight. Mm. And the proper time to prune it, of course, is after it blooms.
Ah.
You know, once the blooms come on and they fade and they finally drop off, then you can prune it any way you want. You're not going to hurt it. And then whatever new growth occurs, there'll be new flower buds for the following year that'll be formed on there.
So, oh, I see.
So if you do a roadie in the fall or winter, you'll see all the flower beds on it. Well, if you prune it, you cut off 90% of the flower buds off for the following spring. So
defeating your purpose.
Exactly. So same way with camellias, same way with azaleas, and there's a few things like that. But after it flowers, you know, it could be June. Go ahead and prune it. You're not going to hurt it. Mm. It'll just grow new stuff, and you'll be in good shape.
It's kind of like that Easter lily I have.
Right. Yeah, your Easter, or this weed you brought me. And I've told this story before, but years ago I got a call from a client to remove her roadies. She said she was tired of looking at them. They were too tall and had no flowers and just a few leaves on the top
of
the plants. You know, and I go, okay. I'll come see. She said, I want them out of here. I don't like them. I want new stuff. I said, okay. Well, I got out there, and these things were at least 8 feet to 10 feet tall.
Wow.
And there was like 3 or 4 stems, and there were no leaves for the first 7 feet. It was just bare stems sticking up in the air. And then the few leaves that were there were way up on top, and she had these large picture windows, and you could see right through them. You know, they were supposed to be a screen or something when they originally thought about putting them in.
Yeah.
And she said, get rid of my them. I want some new stuff. I said, okay. And I got to thinking, well, I wonder what would happen if we dug these up. So we pruned them down to about 3 feet tall, 2.5, 3 feet tall. And the stems were, oh, gosh, 2 inches in diameter at least.
Jeez.
And so we just took the chainsaw and went blimp, blimp, zip, 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 and put the tops, the brush stuff in one truck. And then we dug out the root balls, which mm-hmm. were, took 2-3 guys to pick them up. They were so heavy.
Mm.
And we could only fit 3 of them in a pickup truck.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I had to make 3 trips to the nursery with these things.
Oh, and then no.
I just put them, we got some shade trees and pine trees out there for shade and where we put some plants. And I just put about 6 inches a foot of bark mulch on the ground, unloaded these right on top of the bark mulch, and then covered the root balls with bark.
Uh-oh.
And watered them.
They're in heaven now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I sold every one of them a year later. But that's the rest of the story. But I watered them maybe twice a week. I went out there and made sure they had the water, gave them a little bit of fertilizer, and there was nothing on the stems. There's bare stems. Then one day after about a month, I saw little green bumps all up and down the stems. And within a week, these little green bumps became baby leaves. And then in 2-3 weeks, they were bigger leaves. And a month later, they were huge leaves. And I thought, every one of them, there was 9 of them, every one of them lived. And
nice.
I thought, good. So I just kept pumping it to them and, you know, then giving them a little more food and a little more water. And it was, like I say, sitting on top of the ground, just covered in bark, just to keep them cool and out of the sunlight. And that winter, we got these huge pots, potted them up, and we put them up front because they were all leafed out. And I put an outrageous price on them. And when they were blooming, I sold every one of them.
Nice.
Yeah. Do we have a call?
No.
We got
a break. We're past due a break.
Geez,
so involved in the.
Yeah, this is good stuff, man. Sorry.
We'll be right back. More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Mama Mia, we're back already.
Yeah, and if you have a question, 673-4464, and we'll get right into your question. So, anyway, I was just telling a story about my huge roadies that I transplanted and took out of somebody's yard years ago and how they all lived. And they were not treated gently because they were so big. And I didn't. When I unloaded them, I was telling Dale during the break, when I unloaded them at the nursery by myself, I had no help, and they were probably 200 pounds, at least 200 pounds apiece. So I just kind of drug them out of the truck and dropped them on the ground on top of the bark mulch. So,
that's where they stayed.
And that's where they stayed. And so I maneuvered the truck around and made a plantation and then took my tractor and covered the root balls with bark and watered them. And by golly, they turned in, and a year later, they were gorgeous. They were beautiful. And I think I got $195 a piece for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not a bad investment.
No, it wasn't. All you got to do is wait till they grow.
Yeah.
You know? But the point of the story is, don't give up on a sick plant. Prune it. See what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too big, prune it. It'll be okay. And we're talking basically rhododendrons, but actually that technique will work just about on any plant. I mean, maybe not 100% of them, but most of them that I've dealt with over the years, that works.
Yeah, I was relating it to that Easter lily. It worked.
Yeah, giant Easter lily you got in your yard.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's growing like a weed, so to speak.
Yeah. But, you know, as I drive around, I see thousands of roadies in Roseburg in Douglas County just in bloom. And, you know, some of them won't bloom till May, and then there are late bloomers in June, the first part of June, and they'll last till it gets real hot. And then when it gets real hot, depends on their location, the blooms will fade kind of quickly. But It's, you know, you can do it right to where you can have rhododendrons blooming in your yard in January, February, March, April, May, and June.
Nice.
And of all sizes, all shapes, all colors.
Colors, yeah.
You know, the whole, if you want a rhododendron garden, hey, you can establish that. And that's the point of today's garden lesson. Don't be afraid to plant them. They're a tough, tough plant. And it's okay to... they're not tender, and if you get it, a little maybe shallow or maybe a little too deep, they'll grow anyway because they are tough, mm-hmm. and they will work. But there are literally, like I say, thousands of them, and there's probably I've seen several hundred in bloom in the last week and a half, somewhere in there, and. Yeah. Even with this rain and the snow we've had this week, hasn't even slowed them down. and as soon as you get a break where we get three or four sunny days in a row, mm-hmm. where it gets to be, say, 70 degrees, more of them will pop.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. You know, there are so many colors. And like I said last week, there's like 3,000 named species of rhododendron varieties, different
types. You can
never
be tired of them.
No, you can't. And with that many varieties, there's a lot of color there. There's a lot of different colors.
Betcha.
And also, you know, they grow wild in Asia. They grow wild in Thailand. They grow wild in Vietnam. And they grow wild in Florida, for crying out loud. That's how geographically dispersed they are.
I think you said they don't grow in China, though.
I don't know. I've never been there, and I've never seen that. So, but they say Asia, so China might be included in there. So. But and they grow in a hot everywhere except maybe in a hot dry desert like the Mojave Desert,
oh, yeah.
you know, or maybe in Arizona they don't do so well down there.
Yeah.
But my father-in-law, he lived in northeastern California most of his professional life. On the east side of the Sierra Nevadas, where it was high desert, you know, sagebrush, and the Sierra Nevadas were like within 6 miles of his house, and they went up to 8,000 feet right there between Susanville and Reno. Mm-hmm. And he'd come up and visit and look at all the plants we've got and all that, and he was quite a gardener. And he said, man, I like one of them rhododendrons. And I said, well, this is what you got to do. In your place, you got to build up a nice bed, put some organic material in there and make it, and don't, you know, do this, this, and this, and this. So I gave him a nice one. He took it home. And the first year, everything went really well. And but it can get pretty cold there in Herlong, California. And, you know, it'll get down to zero or below zero for a week or two and with a foot of snow.
Yeah.
And so the next year, the plant didn't do as well.
Uh-oh.
And I think it and then he may have not taken care of it exactly like I told him, because that's a real iffy kind of area for a roadie. It was an experiment to see if it actually lived. But I think it lived 3 years before we finally gave up.
And it's not bad.
Well, you know, maybe if we built a better shelter around it, you know, a little bit more protection, keep the snow off it, you know. And
you're freezing.
Yeah, in the freezing, put a light bulb around it, you know, say, don't freeze. But rhodies, you know, like I say, they grow all over the world, and except in where I just mentioned, where it's hot, dry, and cold.
California, and that part of California.
Yeah, and it's not the Mojave, but it's just a high desert and where they lived in the little town where they lived, the Nevada border was like 6 miles away or 5 miles away to the east. And so that's the kind of country it was in.
Yeah.
You know, we used to go through Mount Shasta to get to go down I-5, then go through Mount Shasta over the mountains into Susanville. And I actually saw rhododendrons in Mount Shasta Wairika and places like that. So they're pretty cold and arid, but not as bad as where my father-in-law lived at that time.
Mm.
So if you want to experiment, you want to see what they're going to do, try one, get one and put it there and just see, hey.
See what happens. Yeah.
See what happens. And like I said, the dwarf ones, the little tiny ones, man, they are spectacular when they're in bloom. And it's like middle of January, 1st of February, and you got this bright purple, blue little plant in full bloom. It's just very gorgeous. And there's some at different intersections over by, is it Albertsons? I think it's Albertsons. maybe it's, I don't know. There's so many shopping centers.
Oh, yeah.
But you go out there past the airport. You're mm-hmm. headed toward Lowe's in that direction.
Yeah.
And that main intersection that goes to Mercy, where there's a Chevron station or some kind of gas station on that one corner. And whoever landscaped that put in a few of those dwarf roadies in there. Mm. And they're always beautiful.
Ooh,
and
okay.
they get exhaust, they get heat,
good.
they get
about everything.
They get everything that's bad for a plant.
Yet the dogs.
Dogs, cats, porcupines. But they do well. Point being, they're good plants. They're hardy plants. And you can really make a beautiful landscape with them. And our wild roadies, of course, they do well. In the high country, and where there's lots of snow, Diamond Lake area. I don't know if there's probably some in parts of Crater Lake, but I've not really seen them. But around Diamond Lake, there's quite a few, especially as you're going up on the, you're almost to Diamond Lake, and you get up above Tokidee there, and there's just a lots of wild roadies in there. Very large ones, small ones, really pretty. Watson Falls. You ever been to Watson Falls up there?
Probably.
Yeah, it's before you start climbing up the hill to Diamond Lake, and there's a campground and a picnic area. Watson Falls, big. It's about 1,000 feet, 900-foot drop or something like that. Mm. But there's plenty of that in there to look at. And give you a good idea if you're going up there, this is what a wild one looks like. I'd like that, blah, 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 and go from there. But one thing they don't like is very wet clay soil, and I've harped on that for years. So what they like is good drainage with lots of organic material, bark mulch, i.e. bark mulch, potting soil, old sawdust, sand, you know, all mixed together really well. They'll do fine in that kind of a planting.
That's mix. Gourmet food.
That's right. It is. But, you know, since the clay soil doesn't drain and it doesn't breathe because it just the particles, clay particles are tight and that's why you can't break them up. They're just tight and they're glued together. Well, they can't breathe, and if the water gets down to them, the water stays around the roots and rots the roots. So if you got clay soil, what you have to do is build them up, build a planter, put 2 feet of 3 feet of bark mulch in a mound and plant them in that mound. They'll do fine because they'll never get down into the clay, and they'll do fine for you. But you put them in the clay, this is not going to work.
They're going to drown.
Yeah. We got a break?
We do.
Okay, I'll be back.
We're actually on time for this one.
Woohoo! No, you can't blame me.
No, that is...
All I do is talk.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And you, hopefully, what's our number, Mike?
673-4464.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
4:39 Wednesday, and that's got to be Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show time on News Radio 1240 KQEN and 93.9 FM. I said it backwards, but I got it out there.
Well, don't forget, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a question, 673-4464 gets you right in here and ask your question, and we'll get you an answer, and you're off and running. So, and as I was talking in the last segment about... you know, planting them in clay and hard ground. And Douglas County is blessed with a lot of clay. There's not too many places in Douglas County where you've got topsoil, unless you live along one of the river beds and river benches or on a stream that flooded a few times over the eons of time, and you'll have some halfway decent soil. And then there's some flat agricultural land out in Garden Valley, which is perfect. But most of Douglas County is not that perfect. Most of Douglas County, planting anything is a challenge, and you need to amend your soil. And you amend it, like I said earlier, with bark mulch, with sawdust, with old compost, potting soil, anything that will permit water and oxygen to get into the root system and then continue and drain away. You don't want to plant them in a pool. You don't want to build a moat around them so the water stays in there. And again, watering a new plant about once or twice a week maximum. That's it. Not in this kind of weather, obviously, but you know, in say in May, June, we're starting to warm up and all that, maybe once or twice a week. But like I say, always feel the soil. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's dry, soak them up, and it's okay. And like if it's dry, 2 inches deep, you put your fingers down there and it feels pretty dry and it's 2 inches deep, then it's when you soak it. Then like a plant or a rhodie, I've been speaking about rhodies, a rhodie in the shade is going to take less water than one planted in the sun, obviously, because it's just, it doesn't evaporate as much. It's not as hot in the shade, and so consequently, it does a better job. So, before you plant rhodies or any plant, check your soil. Very, very important. Dig a hole, and if the soil sticks in big clumps to your shovel, then whatever you plant needs a better soil. And if you suspect, if you don't know what clay is, it's hard to dig in. In the summer, it's almost impossible to dig in because it feels like you're digging in a brick. But in the wintertime, the shovel goes down and you go to pull it up and the soil doesn't crumble. It comes up in one lump sum. And if you want to see how the drainage is, you dig that hole and run your hose in there and see how quickly that water drains out. It will take some time, sometimes a whole day before that water will drain out. So that's a great indicator of what do I got to do to the soil? What do I got to do to amend it? What do I have to do to make sure the plants don't drown and the roots don't rot? Well, you put your good mix in, or if you don't want to dig a hole like that and do it that way, you can mound it. Like I said earlier, put a 2-foot mound in there, 2 foot deep and 4 foot around, or as big as you want, and plant in the mound. There's no way you can overwater the mound. It's okay. We got a call.
We do have. Hello. We have a couple of calls.
All right.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Yes. I needed to ask about my wisteria. When I have a wisteria on the gazebo, and it is prolific, of course,
yeah.
And when are you to trim it? Although I trim it all year long, it seems.
Yeah, you can't hurt it. But you want to do a major pruning on it?
Hello? I don't know. I got a couple of things going on here. But anyway.
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah, well, I don't care. I have gotten to the age where I have to hire someone to cut it. So
yeah, is it how big is it, and what's it growing on?
It's on my gazebo,
uh-huh.
And it's probably 10 years old,
uh-huh.
And I have to keep it in control because, as we all know, wisteria is just a fun-loving plant.
Oh yeah, it is. It is.
It is. And I don't know. He just keeps cutting it all year long because it's out of control.
Yeah.
So, but this year I have some blooms up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had blooms because I'm sure I'm cutting it too much. But whatever. What can I do to get the blooms?
Well, what time of year have you been pruning it?
Oh, he prunes it all year long because it's out of control, of course.
Uh-huh. Well, major pruning should happen after the blooming is done. And if,
okay.
You know, if it's blooming, you know, some of them bloom clear to September. But after the blooms finally have died off and they're not pushing any more buds, you can prune it any way you want. You could prune it to the ground, for crying out loud. And you wouldn't hurt it. But that's the type of plant it is, and it does take constant care to kind of keep it in bounds. So you're stuck with that.
Yes. Oh, it is it's a wonderful plant, and yeah. I love it. But and I planted two, one on each side of my gazebo,
uh-huh.
So I would have a prolific plant there. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hello. And then I planted an evergreen has my evergreen clematis
yeah.
over on one side. And I thought, well, that will help it, too. That'll be fun. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I got an overgrowth of everything.
Well, you've got two choices. Take them out or continue your constant pruning, because that's okay. what you're stuck with.
Well, I don't get a lot of blooms, it appears, because of, you know, I thought, well, I must be having it pruned too much or whatever.
Well,
you know?
not too much. It's the right, you got to pick the right time to prune it. And like on either the clematis or the other, just wait until the blooms are done. And which might be October or so, then you can prune it any which way you want.
Okay. And then, and of course, I like I said, I have wisteria, or not wisteria, clematis.
Clematis
too.
And the wisteria.
And I'm very confused. I have a couple of clematis in different places. And it appears that... Well, so I didn't cut, you know, they say, you know, I can't tell the difference between, okay, it grows from the last year's stems or whatever.
Right.
I'm so confused on that. So I didn't cut them this last year. Mm-hmm. And so how do I know if it's one you're supposed to prune off, clear the bottom?
Well,
whatever.
You know, I can't answer that without seeing it. And so if you were to call my nursery and make an appointment for me to come out and take a look, I could do that.
Okay.
And
then I
could have a better handle on it and, you know, be more specific on how to do it.
Right. I moved up here on Rocky Ridge, and I decided I wasn't leaving it like everybody else, and I wasn't putting rock in because I didn't see any rock growing up here. And so I went down, and I cleaned it up, and I put in all kinds of plants. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put in everything I could find. And it's quite lovely. Everyone thinks it's beautiful, but nobody would ever tackle something like what I did.
Yeah, well, the maintenance the maintenance keeps you busy.
Yeah, well, you know, and then because I did all this, of course, now that I'm older, I can't get down the hill to take care of it. Uh-huh. So I have to hire someone to help me. Yeah. But it is quite lovely. And everyone goes, oh, how beautiful it is. Yeah, well, great.
Invite them over for a pruning party.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They're all as old as I am, so they'll probably go, I don't think so. I mean, you don't have it. And my husband, he was so gracious. Bless his heart. You know, he's passed now. But he bought me track shoes so that I wouldn't fall down.
That's good.
While I was planting. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
You know, because I was mud for the whole time I was doing all this. And he goes, well, see, don't fall down. I'll buy you track shoes. But, of course, he didn't help me. Yeah. But he did do that. So, but, no, it's quite beautiful. I've got everything I can in there. And I had to finally stop because I couldn't find an empty spot to plant something.
So. Well, if you don't have an empty spot, you're done, okay? Yeah. Enjoy.
I know. That is really sad, isn't it? Because I always say, I have an empty spot here and here and here and here. Yeah. I'm sure. Now I have none. So anyway, okay. So as far as my wisteria, wait, see if it'll bloom. I don't get a lot of blooms, and that's really sad because I think they're so beautiful, the blooms.
Well, like I said, it's probably a timing thing, and like I said, if you wanted me to come look at it, you'd have to call my nursery and make an appointment. I come out and take a look at it and see what you've done right and what you've done wrong.
Is there a happy medium, I ask you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All righty. It's break time, obviously. We'll be right back.
Okay.
With more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wow, that guy pops right in there, don't he?
Yep, he does.
All right, we are back. And the lines are open. Oh, we have a phone call.
We have a phone call. That's what we like, phone call.
Go right to her, I guess. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Sure, I'm enjoying the conversation, Mike.
Good. What's up?
Yep. Two things. I was thinking about Dale's dad working as a landscaper.
Yeah, yeah. Not our kind of landscaper, however.
No, he'd be producing work for you, Mike.
Yeah.
And then second off, when you were talking about those gators and the flowers on the banks and the Everglades, there was actually a story about one of the guys having his tour guide let him off, and one of the gators got him.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, I was not going to get off. I just admired him from a distance as we floated through.
I was not implying that you were that kind of a person.
I can't swim faster than a gator.
I'm thrilled to death. Have you alive and dying of old age many years from now.
So do you have a question, John?
Hear you guys. No. I did actually. The show's almost over, so it'll keep.
Okay.
I was thinking you could suggest a list of semi-tropical and other kinds of thing, unusual blooms and blooming plants that people could be landscaping with this spring.
Well, I'll look up and see what we can do. There are, of course, thousands of them. I don't know if they would be available locally. That's the problem. And
there is that.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the business for a while, and so I didn't know who you could call anymore to get a drop shipment of
that's almost impossible
that kind of
to do anymore. Mm. It used to be fine 20 and even 10 years ago I could get that done, but anymore I'm not Kmart, I'm not Bi-Mart, I'm not Lowe's, I'm not Home Depot, so consequently they don't want to stop at my place.
No.
and so that's what it's moved to.
Yes.
So I'll be darned. I didn't.
I deal with smaller places and smaller nurseries and
custom places.
Exactly. So, but if I come across anything, I'll make a list and I'll make you privy to it. How's that?
Well, the people would be blessed by it, Mike. Thanks.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
All
thank
right.
you, John.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All righty.
So, where are we at for time here?
About four and a half, five minutes.
Four and a half, 5 minutes. I can't see the clock from where I sit. He won't let me. But, yeah, you know, we're just talking rhodies and azaleas and the camellias are the same thing. But, you know, if you follow my instructions with just as far as the planting, as far as the soil, as far as the watering, the fertilizing, all that kind of stuff, you're going to have success no matter what it is you plant. And and I'd have to exclude cactus or something like that. But, you know, plants that grow in Oregon, plants that are used in our area, which is quite a list, actually, if you look at what can do here. But if it's good draining, well composted, not overwatered, and fertilized lightly several times a year, you're going to have good success. And sometimes you got to experiment. You know, every yard is a little bit different. Every yard has a different exposure to sunlight or to wind or to shade or something like that. So there will be some adjustments that everybody has to make in their yard. But you don't know how that's going to work unless you plant something in a particular location and watch it, and if it does well, hey, yeah. you they answered that question, you can plant more of them, or you can try something else in a different location. It's learning by doing, and you can read all the books in the world, you can listen to me every week, but each yard is different, and each soil type is slightly different. From you can be in the same subdivision, and there can be different soils from one yard to the next, simply because of what happened 1,000 years ago when a river flooded
or a volcano exploded
or something like that. And so it can be a little bit different. So it's a kind of a trial and error thing. And but if you work to amend the soil and give it good ingredients. It's like baking a cake. You put all the right ingredients in it, voila, you got success, and the chocolate cake is wonderful. You do it in your yard. You make sure that you don't love it to death and put it in a good soil mix, you're going to have success with that. Well, no matter what the plant, rhododendron, azalea, camellia, vines, any of that stuff. And that's kind of the basis of success in gardening is proper soil preparation, proper mix of ingredients as to feed whatever you're going to plant in there. And you can't go wrong if you listen to the show or buy a book on how do I plant a garden. And there are plenty of those kinds of books around. How do I plant my garden? What kind of soil do I use? How often do I water? How often do I fertilize? What type of fertilizer do I use? There's so many things on the market that you could go crazy trying to figure out which one which one will work and which one won't work. And but that's what the show is all about, trying to give you. I've already made a whole bunch of mistakes. You don't have to make the same mistakes I made. I can tell you, hey, this is how I blew it, yep. and this is what you don't want to do. So as a consequence, you can have success, but you got to follow what I say. if you think I'm wrong and you do it your way, and it doesn't work sometimes.
Well,
okay,
you'll find out.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we're
We got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Yeah, or so.
Okay, well,
what's on the agenda for next week?
Well, I haven't got that far in my life.
Okay.
But I've got 3 pages of notes here I haven't even gotten into for today. So I'll come up with something good, and then the last caller asked about citrus, and I got a letter here addressed to this radio station that has a problem with citrus trees and wants me to come up and look at their citrus trees. I can talk about citrus trees.
There you go.
So, anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't be afraid to call. We'll let you in every time.
And we'll catch you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.